welcome to the Desperate and Appalling podcast series. My name is Paul Sloan, and together with my co-author Des McHale, we've written a number of books ranging from lateral thinking puzzles, mathematical lateral thinking puzzles, world's best word puzzles, 1, 2, 3, 4 wacky, witty and wonderful words are some of the books we've written. And in this series of podcasts, we chat about puzzles, situations, words, anything that takes our fancy. So please sit back, enjoy the podcast, and if you like it, come back and listen to some more. So it's another podcast for Desperate Des and Appalling Paul. And today we're going to be talking about our book, World's Best Word Puzzles. How are you today, Des?
Very well, and looking forward to this because I love puzzles, I love language, and I think really we should concentrate on the extraordinary richness of language, especially the English language, because the treasures that are there are absolutely wonderful. And most people just speak the language. They don't think of the wonderful treasures that are lying underneath.
That's right. But before we go into the treasures of the English language, can you just reprise the puzzle that we set at the end of last week's show?
Oh, yes. Last week's puzzle was something like two people buy something that was very expensive and they like to look at it, but they look at it only twice a year.
What and that's in the book on? Remarkable Lateral Thinking Puzzles by Paul Sloan and Des McHale. So I'm sure our listeners have been chewing over that one. We'll give them the answer at the end of the show. Shall we let them chew over it a bit longer?
Okay.
Okay, I'd like to start with a riddle for you. What is it that a dog does that a man steps into?
Pants.
I tried that on my grandson and he said the obvious answer. And what's lovely about that puzzle is that there is an obvious answer and then there is a secondary satisfying answer.
Yeah. It's a lovely riddle, but it's fairly well known. I mean, I've got a very bad habit of knowing almost all riddles because I'm not good at working them out. So an alternative is to find all the answers and then pretend that you've just worked it out. So
that's right.
That's what I did there. Yes.
Now, I did hear a story this week, which I thought would tickle you. You may not know it. And it concerns Max Miller, the old comedian. And in the 1950s, the BBC was very censorious and it would not allow a certain song by Cliff Richard or Perry Como even, and anything which had an offensive word in would not be allowed on the BBC and was banned. And certainly any strong swear words were not allowed. And Max Miller was commissioned to do a comedy sketch on the BBC radio. And his friend said to him, "I'll bet you can't get the F word into the show." And he thought about this and he accepted the bet. He was going to try and get the F word on air on a BBC radio show. Anyway, the show went out and it involved a sketch with a man going to the optician. And the optician said, "Right, will you just sit there and read the words on this chart?" And the man sat down and he said, "A, that's right, X, yes, P, yes, K." And the optician said, "No." He said, "It's not K, it's F." The man said, "No, it's clearly K." And the optician said, "No, it's F." The man said, "It's K." And the optician said, "That's very odd. Because where I see F, you see K."
Very good.
And it got past the censors and it went out. And I think that's a very, very clever way of overcoming that restriction.
Of course, the F word, I mean, if I was being that bad, I'd say, well, any four-letter word beginning with F will fit the bill.
Okay, so we wrote a book called World's Best Word Puzzles, published by Logic Press in Ireland, and it's available on Amazon or good bookstores. And it contains lots of words and in the form of puzzles. So we ask a question and then you have to find the answer. And they are geographical words, punctuation, anagrams, palindromes, and mighty words. And mighty words are words which contain some particularly remarkable attribute. For example, what is the longest word which can be formed with just two letters, each of which may be repeated? The longest word which has just two letters, which can be repeated as many times as you want.
I give up. I helped to write the book, but I can't remember.
You can't remember that one. Well, we put down deeded, D-E-E-D-E-D, six letters, but only uses two. And the longest word which can be formed with just three letters, which may be repeated, we came up with assesses, eight letters, A-S-S-E-S-S-E-S. So there's a lot of words like that which have peculiar qualities of being the longest or the best or the only.
Yeah. It reminds me of the old joke of what's the longest sentence you can form with just three letters, not repeated. And the answer is, I do.
And why is that a long sentence?
Well, we're both married men, we should know. Yeah.
I know, I know. What is the longest word containing just one vowel used once? You must know this one. This is a peculiar word. It's a very common word. It's a word that's used. It's only got one vowel. It doesn't have a Y in it. It has one vowel and it's nine letters long. And the word is strengths.
Thanks, of course, yes. I mean, I know all these things, but just remembering them, it's like being on a quiz. You know, it's very hard to remember them. But my particular favorite, I think, among words is anagrams. And I spent half my life just looking at words and wondering about anagrams, what anagrams can be made for them. And just the other morning, this is quite new now, there was a little book beside my bed, a notebook, and it said notes on the cover. And I just wondered, can I make any anagrams from notes? And then I suddenly thought, stone, that's very good. And
And
then
tones.
That was the next one I thought of. So I had three now. So I went downstairs and I said to my wife, can you make an anagram for the word notes? And she said, onset. But it's
Good.
quite amazing the richness. You know, there's four right away from a common word. And I've come up with a new concept. I don't think you particularly like it, but it's maybe mathematical, and that's why I like it. And that's the notion of a derangement anagram. And a derangement anagram is one where every letter is moved to some other position. So, for example, a two-letter word is easy, no and on. Three letters, eat and tea, each letter is moved. And then four-letter word. Every time I see a stop sign, I think of stop, pots, tops, ops. I mean, it's amazing. There are five anagrams there, but pots and stop are derangement anagrams because each letter of stop is moved to form pots. And what I've done is I've extended this to three, four, five, six, seven, and I can go all the way up as far as 14 different letters.
Wow.
And that's quite astonishing. Again, I emphasize the extraordinary richness of language that we take for granted. There are just so many possibilities that we never look at.
So, what's your favorite anagram from the book?
Favorite anagram from the book.
One of my favorites is cart horse, which is an anagram of
Oh,
orchestra.
orchestra, very nice, very
Can you
nice. I
believe
mean,
that? Cart horse is an anagram of orchestra.
they're so connected, aren't they? The way some people play. I also think palindromes are absolutely wonderful. I'm just going to make the point. It's a pity that in school, teachers of English or teachers of language do not emphasize this fun aspect of words because people use words just to communicate with, but they rarely think of the intrinsic fun that's to be had in just looking at words and analyzing them. And I think it's very good for the mind. And as you get older, I think looking at words, I mean, people who do crosswords almost automatically look at words and look for anagrams or look for splitting the word up into little bits that they can make meaning of. And it's something people should do more rather than just use language to communicate.
It's true. Talking of the cart horse and orchestra, it reminds me of the story of the cat that could play the piano. Do you know that story? And the cat could play the piano. He was a brilliant pianist, and the chap invited his friend around. He said, "My cat can play the piano." And his friend said, "I don't believe you." And the cat sat at the piano. He played Fur Elise. He played it beautifully. And he said, "Can he play anything?" And he played a piece by Liszt, of marvelous. And then the man said, "And he's composed some of his own pieces." And the man said, "Surely not." The guest, he said, "Play one of his." And the cat played a wonderful piece of music, his own composition. And the guest said, "That is so wonderful, it should be orchestrated." And the cat jumped up, ran out of the window, just dashed out of the window, was never seen again.
Very good. I like that. But to get back to palindromes, I think palindromes are very clever. I have a friend who lives in New York who does palindromes, which are hundreds and thousands of letters long. The trouble is, it's very hard to get natural sounding ones, ones that fit in with that are grammatical and that actually are words that are commonly used. And one of my favorites is a person who had warts. Somebody said you can cure warts, you know, by rubbing them with straw. And he said, straw? No, too stupid a fad. I put soot on warts.
I
And that's
put
an
foot
actual
on what?
palindrome. That's an absolutely beautiful palindrome. All the words make sense. The story is a bit unlikely, but I mean, it's quite natural. There's nothing contrived there. And it's very hard to get long palindromes which actually make sense and sound natural. And
Well,
that's one
we've
of
got
them.
a few in the book. One of my favourite is Live Dirt Up a Sidetrack Carted is a Putrid Evil. And
That's
that is a
beautiful.
39-letter palindromic sentence. But the longest one we've got It's 49 letters and it goes like this. Doc, note, I dissent. A fast never prevents fatness. I diet on cod. And that backwards says exactly the same.
That's beautiful. That is very good. But I think people should concentrate more on meaning and naturalness rather than just the length of it, because you can get arbitrary long ones just by pinning words together, which are actually palindromes. There are very few actually palindromic words in the English language. I mean, rotavator, I think, is one of the longest. That's got 9 letters. And you've got a few names like Bob and things like that. You've also got mirror palindromes, such that they look the same backwards and forwards, but they look the same in a mirror, which is very difficult to do. I think the longest one we know is toot toot, which
toot,
is a noise
toot, yes.
that a train makes. But you're now bringing geometric constraints in. And again, there are lovely geometric problems with letters that are consist of straight bits. And there's only one number that consists of straight bits when written out in the English language. And it's got the same number of straight bits as are in the number itself. And it's 29.
Is that right?
That's a really difficult puzzle, I think. You know, you could spend a lot of time working at that and not getting it out. But, you know, you just wonder who made these things up. I mean, you used to say people in jail. You can see, you know, whether they were put in jail in the first place for making up puzzles like that. I think it's a wonderful mental exercise. It need not have any purpose or any function, just to make up puzzles themselves.
So we've got some geographical words in here, and these are country names or city names which have peculiar quality, such as, which is the only country whose single word name contains all 5 vowels? So it's a single word country and it's got all 5 vowels in the name. And you can use this in a pub quiz and you can set it to people who think they know a lot about trivia, and it will stump them for a long time. But it's a country you've heard of.
Is it Mozambique?
It is Mozambique, yes. Mozambique, it has all 5 vowels and it's a single word country. So give me one of your favourites from the book.
My favourites have got to do with not repeating letters. So the longest word you can make not repeating letters. For 14 letters, you get ambidextrously and hydropneumatic. But there are 15s. Uncopyrightable and dermatoglyphics. 15 letters of the alphabet not repeated in a meaningful word that's in dictionaries. That's some feat to actually do that. And I used to set that as a problem for my classes. Start off with 2 letters, with 3 letters, with 4 letters, with 5 letters, and it just gets increasingly difficult. But by the time you get up to 14 and 15, you've really got to be very ingenious. That's my type of puzzle. I think it's because I'm a mathematician. I think things like that are very, very mathematical, the non-repetition of letters.
And that sort of puzzle is uncopyrightable. Did you know that? You can't copyright something like that. But I read recently of a town which claims to be the longest town name which has no letter repeated, and it's a town in Australia called Falconbridge.
That's very nice.
And that is 12 letters with no letter repeated. Falconbridge.
You can make these puzzles more specific. Let's say for a pub quiz, you could say, what's the longest such town in England, in Scotland, in Ireland? And that makes it local, and that makes it, I think, quite more interesting.
Which is the longest name of a country containing alternating consonants and vowels, such as Canada or Mexico? They've both got alternating consonants and vowels. And the longest one is quite surprising.
Is it United Arab Emirates?
It is. It is United Arab Emirates, which is 18 letters alternating consonants and vowels.
Now, here's one for you that I just thought of that you may not know. What is the longest name of a country in the world?
The longest name of a country in the world, I believe, is the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
Absolutely. That's lovely. Most people wouldn't realise that. You know, they know the answer, but they don't know that it is the answer.
No, and people in the UK call it the UK, or they call it Great Britain or Britain, and nobody says the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. But that defines the actual state very, very clearly.
Well, by the time you've said that, San Marino have scored a goal against it.
So do you have a joke for us this week, Des?
Do I have a joke? Yes, I have a joke somewhere, but I can't remember what it is.
We'll give you a moment.
Oh, yes. I just remembered a joke from Ken Dodd. He was worried because his wife's underclothes have just been stolen from the clothesline. And he said he didn't miss the knickers so much, but it was the 15 clothes pegs that really worried him.
That's shocking.
That's a dreadful joke, but I think it's very beautiful. I mean, that's a typical Ken Dodd can tell almost anything, but because he was Ken Dodd and because he was a nice guy and he wasn't a nasty guy, he could get away with almost anything. And that's the secret of a good comedian, I think.
So what word contains six letters? Yet if you take away one letter, you're left with 12.
Can't remember.
This is more of a riddle than a pure word puzzle, but what word contains six letters? Yet if you take away one letter, you're left with 12.
You
And
better
the
tell me.
answer is dozens.
Oh, yes, very nice, very
Dozens,
nice.
you take away the S and you're left with
Yeah.
dozen, which is 12. So there are a few trick questions in the book like that too, but there are a lot of great words.
I also like puzzles about punctuation because I think it's something that maybe is difficult to sort of actually say verbally. But one of my favorites is boys and girls are asked to punctuate the following sentence. Woman without her man is a savage.
That's a terrible thing to say about woman.
It is. Well, you can punctuate in two ways. Woman without her man is a savage, or woman without her man is a savage. And
Yes.
boys tend to punctuate it one way and girls the other.
And that's why punctuation is important, and putting apostrophes in the right place is important. And they say it's the difference between knowing your shit and knowing your shit.
Yes, right, yeah. Well, there was a famous court case, remember, where somebody was actually executed for murder. It all came down to just one sentence. And he says, "Let him have it." The policeman asked for the gun, and one shouted, "Let him have it, Jake."
It was
Now,
Derek Bentley. That was
yeah,
the
that's right.
famous Bentley
Yeah.
case.
I think that's quite incredible because, I mean, the punctuation there or the phraseology or just the very use of the phrase would belong to a certain class of people, as a person. And I don't think any linguists were called in as expert witnesses there. But I mean, to me, I think if you say, let him have it, that did mean that he was inviting him to shoot him. But the defense counsel said, give it to him, let him have it. And it just shows that the ambiguity in language could actually cost somebody their life.
I'm amazed that the jury found him guilty on that basis because it's very ambiguous, that
Absolutely.
statement, let him have it.
I also like technical things that which are called lipograms, and that is things which leave out certain letters or leave out certain phrases and words. If you look at a very well-known nursery rhyme, Old Mother Hubbard, Old Mother Hubbard, she went to the cupboard, et cetera, et cetera. Hand that to people written down and say, what's peculiar about this? And everybody knows it so well, they don't see anything peculiar about it. But if you examine it carefully, you'll find that it's a big, long verse, and yet it does not use the letter I even once. And most people wouldn't spot that because they're not
It's
ignorant.
it, a lipogram is a text which omits a certain letter. People have written a whole book without using the letter E. But
That's
Old
right,
Mother
yeah.
Hubbard, I'll read it just so that listeners know. Old Mother Hubbard, she went to the cupboard to get her poor dog a bone. But when she got there, the cupboard was bare, and so the poor dog got none. There is no I in that long statement.
Unfortunately, she hadn't heard about Meals on Wheels, yeah. One of the nice things I think is that as time goes on, you can improve on certain puzzles. You write down something. That's why in our book we said, look, if you're a reader and you come up with a better solution, we won't be at all upset. We'd be very glad to hear from you. And it's very nice that people can say, okay, I think I can do better than that. I think it's something one should look at. It's very hard to get the best possible solution of a word puzzle because there could be something obscure or something unusual lying around the corner that you just didn't think of at the time.
What's the longest word which forms another word when it loses its first letter? Is one of the questions in the book. And the answer is predetermination, which forms redetermination when it loses its first letter. But we've also got, believe it or not, what's the longest sentence which remains a sentence when every word loses its first letter? And the answer we give in the book is this strange sentence: Show this bold Prussian that praises slaughter, slaughter brings rout. And if you take off the first letter of every word, you get how his old Russian hat raises laughter. Laughter rings out. Slaughter becomes laughter.
That's wonderful.
What word starts with an E, ends with an E, and contains just one letter?
I think that's envelope.
I can't catch you out.
Well, I've got the book here and I'm thumbing through it madly looking for answers. I also like little known words, words that, you know, it's very, I have a sort of reverse dictionary at home. And that is, it'll give you the meaning and then it'll give you the word for it. But it's very difficult. Well, maybe with Google, it's quite easy, but it's very difficult to actually get a word for certain things. And the name of the little channel from the human nose down to the mouth, that's called the philtrum. Most people don't know that. And the little plastic piece at the end of your shoelace. Well, let's see if how long it takes people to work that one out.
I have no idea.
I think it's called an aglet. I also like unusual ones, like which word is common to most languages? And there's a reason for it, I suppose.
There are two candidates for that. Taxi is probably the answer in the book,
Yes,
but
yeah.
okay is very well known in many languages.
Yeah, but is okay a word?
Well, that's a good question. Is it an
Good question.
abbreviation or is it a word?
Yeah.
Is debatable.
The origin of it is supposed to be an Irishman. This is correct now. I'm not a joke. Sounds like a joke. Who wrote all correct on every instrument that he examined. So okay, all correct.
I don't believe a word
That
of
is true. That is in most books, that is given as the correct derivation of that particular term. I also like anagrams where the actual anagram is something which is closely resembles the original in meaning. Mother-in-law, the best anagram of that is woman Hitler.
it.
Now that's
You get
nasty.
us banned from the
Oh yeah,
radio.
well.
You are.
Okay, so would you like me to give the answer to that puzzle that we had at the very beginning? Because I think
Yes, please. It's
it's a
about
very
the
clever
couple
puzzle.
who buy something very expensive, which they like to look at, but they only look at it twice a year. Is that what's the answer?
Well, the answer or one answer is that's a very beautiful and very expensive painting that they buy. But of course, if they keep it in their own house, they're going to have all sorts of security problems and it may get stolen. So they lodge it in a gallery and then they go to the gallery, which has security, twice a year just to look at their own painting. There's something nice about that. I mean, it means they're sharing the thing they like to look at so much with other people, and yet they're also getting the benefit of themselves, and it's secure and safe, and it's there whenever they want it.
Very, very good. Okay, so let's leave listeners with a couple of puzzles from the book. The book is called World's Best Word Puzzles by Paul Stone and Des McHale. And here are a couple. What word starts with seven consonants and ends with nine? What word starts with seven consonants and ends with nine? And the other question I will ask is the six-letter name of which country contains seven numbers. The six-letter name of which country contains seven numbers. We'll leave those for people to think about. You can always get the book if you're desperate to get the answer, or you can listen in to our next podcast.
Hats, think hats. I think devious clues is a lovely thing to do. I mean, misleading clues are wonderful, but a devious clue can be as hard to interpret as the original problem.
Any other favorite words to leave us with?
I still think alphabet is one of the most beautiful and one of the most useful words you can possibly have. And the only reason I said that is because I'm thumbing to the book, and alphabet is the first word that came up, and I was desperate for something to say.
And where does the word alphabet come from?
Well, it comes from the Greek alphabet, alpha and beta,
The
which
first
is
two letters in
very,
the Greek alphabet. And as you
very
say,
old.
there's no particular reason why the alphabet should be in alphabetical order.
No.
Okay, Des, thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.